Welcome to How Now, the podcast where we talk about how to live in the now. And here's your host, Kim Martin Raymond.
Peace and blessings, love and light, and welcome to this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. I am your host, Kim Martin Raymond. I am a minister, spiritual life coach, holistic nutritionist, author, and founder of Redefining You, LLC, where I help my clients to realign themselves mind, body, and spirit. And welcome to the How Now podcast. If it is your first time joining us, welcome to the show with me in front of you. Please make sure that you go to my website, www.hownowpodcast.com. Be sure to click on your favorite podcast link and be sure to like, follow, share, and subscribe. You can also scroll to the bottom of the page and it will take you to the banner for this week's show. And when you click on that banner, it will take you to the How Now YouTube channel, where you can like, follow, share, and subscribe there as well. And make sure that you hit the notification bell so that you always know what's happening in the now. And again, that's www.hownowpodcast.com. All right, so let's dig in. Tonight's topic is let go and let God. Okay, that's all we have to say. Let go. What more is there to say? As we're coming into the holiday season and going through the holiday season and reflecting on the new year, you know, there have been a lot of things that people have had to go through in this past year, and things that some of us may be carrying it into the new year. But it's always good to know that we can let go and let God. And that no matter what the circumstance is, whether we're celebrating things that are happening good in our lives, we're celebrating the fact that His will is done in all things. And how it looks may not be what it is, but it's important that we take time out to give Him honor, to give Him glory, to give Him praise, and to share the experiences that we've had, because that helps us to be able to be empowered and to be motivated and enlightened to be able to go through the things that we're going through. As we're going through the storm, we're not always going to stay there. But we know that when that storm comes, that it doesn't rain on just a select few people, it rains on all of us. And that rain affects us in different ways. It helps some of us to be able to grow. Okay, it softens some of us up who may be hardened by the things that are happening in life. And so it's just important to have a new perspective and to be able to share our stories of inspiration and encouragement so that we can inspire and encourage others. That's what the How Now podcast is all about, creating spaces for us to cope. And that's our acronym for Create Our Peaceful Existence. And so I have a guest here who is going to share her powerful story and her story of inspiration, of love, and things that are happening with her right now. So as is customary with the How Now podcast, I'm going to have my guest to introduce herself at this time, and we're going to go ahead and dig in. So
thank you so much, Kim. I'm so excited to be here. My name is Jess Kalvitis, and it's so fun that she gets to let her guests introduce themselves. She was explaining why she does that, because she doesn't want to get anything wrong. And who knows us better than ourselves? And so my name is Jess Kalvitis. I am a wife. I am a mother of one amazing five-year-old. I'm also a wellness coach and a business owner with that. And so I used to be, my top identity used to be a registered nurse in the pediatric surgical center. It's still one of my passions, but I decided to leave that role to pursue wellness coaching, to help others pursue their best lives. And I love that we are labeling this podcast, Let Go and Let God, because this year at the very beginning, you know, we're wrapping up 2023, right? And when we start a year, we kind of have a vision. We think, oh, I know how this year is going to go. And when we say, let go and let God, we have a thought of what that's going to look like. Right. And then God kind of sometimes throws some surprises in there. And then we really get to dig in to what does that really look like? And so a little bit of my story, which will help you understand how 2023 came to be. Back in 2018, I was a full-time nurse. I was deciding to start my family with my husband, and we decided to start pursuing what that was going to look like. I did get pregnant relatively quickly in that time frame, but I also, within a few short weeks of discovering that I was pregnant, I was diagnosed with cancer. I had been coughing up some blood. Didn't think it was anything major at the time. I was a runner. And so I just thought I had irritated my esophagus. And then we had to journey through a major surgery while I was pregnant, which was supposed to be the cure-all for that cancer type. In October, I delivered him beautifully. He was healthy. He's still with us. So that was an amazing miracle of 2018. You fast forward to 2021, and my cancer actually came back again in my back at that time, and also my liver. We did some surgery again because I was in a lot of pain. Recovered from that surgery, went to radiation, seemed to have everything under control. I also, in 2021, decided to get my own health back in order. I was needing to really start to look at my emotional regulation. What was I running to? Was I running to God, or was I running to food? Was I trying to find my comfort through, as silly as this sounds, I had a 2.5-year-old, through Goldfish and Cheerios.
That's right.
That those high carbs, you know, like that quick sugar fix. Because I'm a carb girl. I'm not a sweets girl. So those Goldfish, though, like, you know, just and I put on a lot of weight because a lot of people told me it was okay, because of what I was going through, right? Like, so they were like, it's okay, you know. And I don't think they were, obviously they weren't doing, I wasn't doing anything bad per se, but it wasn't the best. It wasn't really the best. And so after radiation in 2021, I really decided to get my own health in order. I felt terrible. So I started a weight loss journey, was able to release 45 pounds in that time frame of about 6 months. And then I now kept that off because I've been working on my mindset, which is where it all is. And so in July of this past year, 2023, my husband was in a race and I was carrying a heavy backpack and my back really started to bother me. And I was like, this feels really similar to 2021. And so I messaged my doc and I said, hey, do you think we should get some imaging? Like, let's kind of see what's happening here. And so we got the ball rolling, you know, started to get some imaging, started to get some test results, and the cancer was back. And this time it had traveled to my brain. So I had a brain tumor. It was in my back, it's still in my liver, and a couple spots were growing in my lung. And I was just like, oh, God, what are you doing? Like, I've done this twice already. Like, really? I got to do this again? But something was very different this time, Kim. And I think it's because of the mindset work that I've been doing, some of the reading that I had been pouring my mind into. And I really thought about, you know, what did Mary feel like now that we're heading into the Christmas season, right? Like, what did Mary feel like when that angel came to her to tell her what her big task was?
Right.
And it's like, what does the angel always say when they appear? What do they always say first? Do not be afraid. And it's like, I think they have to say that because we are afraid. And I don't think an angel came to me, but I was also like, I told my husband, do you think God has found favor in us and realizes that he can trust us with this journey, that we will turn it to glorify him, that we will walk through this? And as Paul talks about in epistles, of suffering well, like, do you think that's why God has given us this because he knows that we will choose to honor and bring him glory. And so I've had to wrestle with that because I'm like, who do I really want the favor of God? And the answer is ultimately yes.
Right.
But then it's that let go of what I think the favor is going to look like.
Right.
And let God really have control of that. And one of the things that I do that really helps me, because we talk about how now, right? Like that's your whole, you know, foundation is how now do I like still act like a good mom, right? Like how now do I still show up as a wife, you know? And one of the things that I do is I really try to memorize scripture. Because I know that if that is in me, that is what will come out of me. And so one of the current verses that I'm working on is Ephesians 3, 16 to 20. And I'm just going to read it to you. I have part of it memorized, but I think this version is the New Living Translation. And it says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts. As you trust in him, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. And the reason that I am like just bathing myself in this verse is how many times does it say it's God's power in me?
Yes.
Because a lot of people come up to me and they're like, how do you do it? How do you do it? And I have to say, it is not me. Because if I even look at my own circumstance, I'm like crazy overwhelmed. And I'm like, how do I do that? But it's God. It's God in me. And he doesn't ever lead you to something that isn't for your good and his glory. And so I have to trust that this is the best plan for me. And that's not always easy. But when I can read this verse and think, I don't have to rely on my own power, I rely on his power in me, then I'm released to be able to just do the next thing that he calls me to do. And I think in an odd way, I can't look too far in the future. And it's not completely always because of fear. It's not like I'm afraid of the future, but it's so unknown. And I'm like, oh, like, God, what are you going to do? Like, I'm a little nervous of like what you might call me to do. But if I'm really letting go and letting God, he's not asking me to know what's going to happen up there. He's asking me to act right now in my current situation. And so one of the things that like I have been super intentional with all of my crazy like scans and appointments that are going every which way, you know, is to see the people that are there, right? Like the technicians, the nurses, and really trying to be where I am so that I can be that light to maybe that person's having a bad day. Like, you know, they have to keep that professional level on. But like they might have just gotten yelled at by the last patient.
Right.
And I can show up and I can be like, how are you doing? You know, and they can say good or they can, you know, whatever. It's their response is theirs. but I can see them. And I think that last few times, I wasn't looking for people. I was looking in. Like, why is this happening to me? What's happening? Like, very self-centered. And this time I'm like, all right, God, you've led me here. Who am I supposed to meet here? And there's people in my life that are pouring into me so that I can also pour into others. Because even a lot of times when I reach out to people, sometimes they're like, why are you reaching out? Like, your life's crazy. And I'm like, yes, it is. Like, I'm not going to like say it's not. But it's not too crazy to not care for people, right? Like, the greatest command is that we are to love others. And so whether my life's crazy or not, I still need to bring Christ's love wherever I go. And we went, we're in upstate New York, we're currently, and I had to go to Boston for a second opinion because the cancer is super rare. And I thought, wow, I'm in a totally new spot that I wouldn't have been in if it hadn't been for this diagnosis. And so really trying to not change what's happened, because that's going to waste a lot of energy to just sit here and wish. And just sit here and be like, wow, I really wish that I didn't have this happening right now. Like, or how do I change the past? Because the past can't be changed. And so one of the things I'm currently working through with that mindset piece, Kim, is that we've talked about is, what do I want to create? And to create, you have to look forward and you have to be, okay, I have to let go of what I think is like going to be the path and really be like, all right, God, I have to trust you in this and trust in the fact that it's okay that I don't know. Because we're like super crazy control freaks, right? Like, I want to know exactly what's happening. I'd like a play-by-play like before it happens so that I can feel ready. But that's just not how God works.
It is not. You're right.
It's not. But what I think sometimes control also means is that we miss out on miracles because we're trying to control so much. We don't allow God in. And so this has really been a season since July. And it's crazy because it also feels like that was like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's only been what, July, August, September, October, November, 5 months. Like, but it seems like so much has happened. And I think, wow, God, I'm so glad that I didn't know what 2023 was going to hold. Because if I knew it, I would probably have higher anxiety. I would have been like, well, when is it going to happen? And one of the books that I'm currently reading is None Like Him by Jen Wilkin. And this book has been so incredible in this season because it's talking about the ways that God is God and I cannot be. So the chapters are like, he is infinite. He's incomprehensible. He is self-existent, self-sufficient, eternal, immutable, omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. And one of the things that he talks about is, she talks about with omniscience, is that rather than obsessing over the future, learning contentment in our God-ordained innocence of what is to come. And that phrase has really helped me because I think about Luke, my 5-year-old, and when he looks to the future, he's excited about it. He knows that what mom and dad have planned for him are good plans. He knows that like, it's going to be great. When we have to say, hey, buddy, you need to wait because this, you know, like, or there's a surprise coming. He doesn't think that surprise is going to be bad. He only assumes it's going to be good. And with that phrasing of God ordained innocence, I need to thank God that I don't know the future, and also sit with happy expectation that it's going to be good. That it is going to be good. It might not feel good, and it might not seem good. Like, I might be really confused, and it might be really hard. And like, I might, you know, be literally puking on the way home from Thanksgiving because my chemo meds are, you know, acting up. But that doesn't mean that what God has for me isn't good, because he is a good father. And so I so appreciated that perspective of innocence. Yes. And how, you know, when you're a kid and you're like, I just want to be an adult. And then when you're an adult, you're like, why did I ever want that?
Right,
you're like,
right.
There's bills to pay. You know, there's just like all this adulting that is like no fun.
Right.
But no, there's an innocence of childlikeness, right? And that's what God has given us by not being able to see the future. And I just loved that phrasing because it brings such peace.
Yes.
It brings such just like, he's allowing me to be his child, which is the role I'm supposed to play. I'm supposed to be a child of his. And so not knowing the future is a way, a gift that he's given me, that I can remain innocent. Because there's so few things that we remain innocent in.
Right.
And yeah, that's something that is his and his alone. Yes. And so that has been really helpful for me to just be able to work through, and with not knowing like what is my next step completely, because the cancer that I have is very rare. And so there's not really a path that we follow. I really have to be in the now. I can't think, oh, in 3 months, this is the next step. In 6 months, this is the, because I don't know what that's going to be. And I have to remind myself that that's okay, because God is already there and God knows it. And so I am laugh a little when I put my sticker on my calendar for 2023 that said, let go and let God, because what I thought I was letting go and letting God was more of my business, like in what he wanted to do with my coaching and like what that was going to look like. Yeah. And instead he went with my health, which is not what I expected, but I can already see the blessings that are coming from it, because I'm just being obedient in the next thing. And it's not always wise to just do the next thing. Like, there are things that need future planning, but most of us can do really well by just doing the next right thing. And those will add up to, you know, a lot of good things in the future. So that's kind of a summary of a lot there, Kim.
Oh, no, this is wonderful. That's wonderful, because there's so much that we can unpack here. You know, when we're talking about that, you said that, first of all, like you said, the statement of letting go and letting God, and like you said, having that childlike, you know, mindset. Like you said, it's so much of mindset. It's so much of thinking about, you know, the excitement. You know, when you're a child and you don't know certain things, there is an excitement that comes along with that. And then sometimes I think when we do kind of know too much, or we know a little too far, then we start reacting instead of responding, you know, because we're so busy, you know, anticipating the blow that we're missing everything else that's going on around us, you know, because now it's, I've got to, you know, I've got to protect myself. So we start building that wall.
Yeah.
And that wall goes up, and then we can't even see over that wall or see around that wall or see under that wall, because we built the wall. And now Now we definitely can't see. And then the fear comes in even more because now it's like I built this wall and now I can't see around it, over it, through it. So, and now I'm having anxiety from that. And so we're creating all of that instead of leaving that path open to say, okay, well, if I can see, at least, I may be able to see what's coming down the road. I may not see what's coming over that hill, but I can at least see to keep walking. But when I build
Yeah.
that wall, I can't move. I can't move if I build the wall.
The wall
I
also, I feel like creates, it's a defense. Walls
yeah.
aren't usually an offense. Walls are usually created as a defense mechanism. And when we can walk through life being more open and curious of like, what could this mean? Instead of, well, this is just terrible and now I'm mad. And one of the things that I had the amazing opportunity to do this summer was go through the Unexpected series by Christine Kane. It's a video series. And she really unpacks, I think I have it. Yeah, it looks like this, Unexpected
Okay.
by Christine Kane. And she really unpacks like how we think unexpected is usually negative. And really trying to reframe that unexpected can be really positive. And it doesn't mean that, like, I'm always positive, right? It doesn't mean that I don't have some hard times or some really good cries,
Right.
because that does happen. Like, there are days when I'm like, oh God, this does really feel like a bit too much. Like, this, like, I need to cry it out. But one of the things that I take so much comfort in, and I don't remember, I think I heard this a long time ago, but just the fact that God is not afraid of my emotions has been so helpful, because then I don't need to hide them from him. He already knows them. And I think he's thankful when we bring them to him instead of maybe trying to fix it on our own or not be so angry, or maybe like spiritualize things, like,
Right.
but just be like, God, this really feels hard. This is heavy. Like, this just doesn't seem fair. Like, those are all very
Yes.
okay things to say and to
They are
feel.
human emotions,
They are
and it
there, and you need to feel them and express them. Maybe journal them.
yes.
I'm a huge journaler. I write things out because then it goes from in here where it's all swirly and stays to
It's
getting it
really
out. It's an avenue out. And so I'm a huge proponent
yes.
of journaling. And maybe if you need to do bullet points to start, do bullet points. You don't need to write full
Right.
sentences. I
Right.
probably, if you look at my journal, I don't probably use a single period ever. It's just one long sentence. It's just bullet, but it helps get it out so
Yes.
that then I can process it. And
Yes.
2 years ago, when we were going through it the second time, we read Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy by Mark, and it starts with a V. I cannot remember his last name, but that is a book about how to lament well. And that book was super helpful because it gave me the tools to not be afraid of those, like, but I'm scared, or I'm afraid, or what? Maybe I'm doubt, like, and so it really helped me go through some of the Psalms of being like, it's okay to just turn and tell God, how do you feel? Like,
Right.
just say, oh, because I think it's Psalm 13 is like, oh Lord, how long, oh Lord, how long, oh Lord,
Yeah.
and then you can state your complaint, like, it's okay. But then you need to ask God to help you, right? Like, you need to move from complaining to, okay, God, okay, what are you asking me to do? To
Yes.
then expressing trust and
Yes.
saying, okay, how long? But my trust remains in you. And that 4 steps was so helpful because a lot of times I think I got stuck in that complaint. And then
Yes.
I just kind of stayed there and stayed there. And that wall started to go up that you were talking about, Kim.
Yes.
But when I can go from All right, God, how long? Doing that complaint and then saying, okay, here's really what I want. You know, here's how I see it. But ultimately moving to, I still trust you. I trust you. And so whatever that goes, I'm going to let go and let God. Like,
you know, the one thing that I love about everything that you're saying is that you have prepared such a beautiful toolbox. That is my biggest thing. I am a toolbox person. I love that, you know, when things get to a certain space, you have talked about books, you have referenced books, you have referenced scripture. You know, you have referenced journaling. You have referenced so many ways in which when any type of adversity comes up, you say, you know, I can go back to this. I can go back to the word of God, his daily bread. I can go back to that and reach back. And in those times when I'm feeling, you know, sorrowful, or I'm feeling, you know, anxious, or I'm feeling frustrated, I can go to the word, or I can go and write these things down because, you know, yes, like you said, where they're swirling around in my mind, you know, now I can put it on a piece of paper. I can release it, but I can still see that it was something that was there. And then I can also look back as a point of reference and see the victory that has come from what I've written down. So it gives me another point of reference to see that, yeah, this is where I was, and now I'm not there anymore, but it happened. I've acknowledged it, and now I can say, this is what he does, and this is how he's shown me consistently that he is God, that he can do all things. And so there's always been a point of reaching back and saying, okay, when I get to this space, now I can see how I can move from it. Like you were saying, it's not a what now, we know what it is. All right. We've given it a name, and it's so interesting because we as Homo sapiens, we always are looking to rationalize things and to try to put things in boxes or in categories so that we can better understand it, you know? And so while we're sitting there trying to, you know, fit everything in, sometimes things aren't going to fit perfectly into those boxes. Like you said, you have a rare form of cancer. So there isn't the research or anything else like that. Like you said, it's not about building up that wall. It's just like, yeah, there's a hill. I don't know what's over that hill, but I'm going to keep on walking because I don't know what's on the other side of that hill, but at least I can see the hill. You know, I have not built up that wall. I have not built up those things that are going to keep me from seeing it and reaching it and possibly falling over it because I can't see. You know, it's having that openness. So I love that you've built toolboxes and that you have things that you can go back and reference, and that you talk about the importance of being able to express ourselves, because we know that we are spiritual beings, you know, we are human beings living, you know, and, you know, we are spiritual beings living a human experience. So yes, we are going to have human emotions, but like we talked about, you know, before we started, you know, we don't stay there. We don't stay there. We acknowledge it. We say, yes, okay, the tears are going to roll, or, you know, I'm going to be frustrated, but I'm not going to stay there. But what I am going to stay is the course. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to keep moving forward because there is something that's on the other side of that. And even though I don't know what's on the other side of it, I can still see it.
Yeah. And you know who's on the other side of it, right? Like, you know, he's already there. And so that's one of the things way back in 2018, when I was first diagnosed, my husband and I were memorizing, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." And then it goes into, "Do not be anxious about anything," you know, that whole. But I remember we were memorizing it as a couple. And then I got that news, and the first thing that popped into my head was, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And it's because I was given that verse, like, to meditate and dwell on it, because you talk about the tools in my toolboxes, and you can't see it very well because of what you see behind me, or of the books, a lot of the books I've been referencing. But I have so many sayings. I have so many, because visually I need to see it, right? Like, my verse I'm memorizing now is on this, 3x5 card, and on like 17 others throughout the house, right? Like I even have one on my dash on my car, because the more senses you can incorporate into something, like the more likely it is to stick. And so like, I very rarely, like my cup I'm drinking from says, make space for growth, I got this sticker and I had to modify it because it says, you are enough. And then I put the word not, because I'm not enough, but with God, but I have these things all around, because I need those reminders. I need, because our mind is so quick to go to that negative space, to go to the what ifs. And I love that you were talking about going back. When I was in the Bible study this summer, a lovely lady came up to me and she goes, "Do not forget the faithfulness you've seen in your story," because she goes, "Think of it this way. The devil cannot mess with the past. The past is the past. And so those miracles cannot be taken from you. You have your son. You are here." She's like, the devil loves the what ifs, because he has all sorts of ideas and he loves to control where you're thinking, but he cannot mess with what's already been done. I was like, oh, that is so helpful. And so I came home that night and I wrote out, where have I seen God, in all of these things? And they just kept coming and coming and coming. And so that's where, I feel like in the Old Testament, they talk about doing those monuments, right? So that when generations later would come back, and we don't have a great system, I don't feel like, in America to do that, but like journaling is a great way to talk about that. And I actually just today, my son and I, we went swimming and he happened to see my scar from when I had my first surgery. And I would have in the past just been like, that's one of mommy's boo-boos, right? But this time, I think just because of how much God is working in my heart, I said, that actually happened when you were still inside of me. And so that is showing how much God loves both of us because we're still here. And like, I could have skipped over that, because I think sometimes we think God's going to call us to this one big decision one time.
Right.
And how now is about all of the little decisions that you're presented with moment by moment by moment. And so it's using that as a cue to say, this is a time I get to show, my son's name is Luke, that this is the faithfulness of God as a scar on my body. And so that might for him not mean anything right now, but he might remember it. He's five. He's who knows where his brain is. But we are called to little things way more often than I think we realize, because we're looking for big things. We think, oh, God's going to call me to something really big. He's going to say, go to Africa, or, go to the mission trip, or do the, and you're like waiting all right, when's he going to call me? When what he's really asking you to do is call your sibling you haven't talked to, in too long, or walk across the street and say hi to your neighbor. Those are the things that I think we miss when we are trying to not be in the now, like that. But that's how we can, be right now, is see what's around us and what our next step is.
I absolutely, absolutely love that what you are doing and creating is a mantle and a legacy for Luke.
Mm.
I love that he sees the things that you are doing, and he's going to remember those things. Children learn the most within their first 5 years of life. So he's been a little sponge absorbing all of the things that you are doing, the things that you are saying. You know, that children model those who they spend the most time with. And so for Luke, this is such a wonderful time for him to grow and to learn and to absorb all the things that you are doing. And he is going to carry those things with him. That
And
is
one of
going to
the
be all part
things
of his legacy. Yeah.
that I just wanted, you talk about toolbox things,
Yes.
and I don't know if there's any young moms that are going to be listening to this, but one of the things that I started doing 2 years ago when I was diagnosed again is I bought a Bible for Luke, and it's one with a margin on the side, and I read my scripture through with that Bible.
Yes.
And I write prayers for him and I write notes to him in that.
Yeah.
And I don't know when I'm going to give him this Bible. I don't know if it's going to be when he's 16 or 18. Like, I have no idea when he's going to receive this Bible. But I want to do my part to, because I also do not morbidly have the thought, but I don't know how much of my life, will be with him. I do believe that God is going to give us a long time. I don't feel like it's going to be shortened, but I want him to have that Bible even
Yeah.
when he's 60, and I
Right.
am like logged
Right.
on or whatever, and be able to say, wow, back in 2021, my mom was praying this over me. Like, my mom wrote these verses out, and it's been really neat. Because I think it's given me a different avenue to pray for his heart. Because I know it's going to be his Bible. And so, like I said, I write prayers, but I also write notes to him in it. And so if there's any young moms, out there, I think it's been really therapeutic to me and really opened my eyes to his spiritual needs. So a huge thing that I would suggest a young mom doing is just having a Bible for your children, like one for each one. And just every once in a while, if you're reading something in your own Bible and you're like, wow, I could pray this over my son or my daughter, to just go to their Bible and write that prayer out.
Yes. You see, and that's a blessing. And that's the thing. We have to begin to think about, what are some of the things that are helping us to create our peaceful existence? How can we share those things with others, just like we're doing now? How can we pass those things along to our children? Because they're going to be seeing what we're doing right now. And so, like you said, to be able to journal it, to be able to talk about it, to be able to pray over them, to be able to write those notes as they're coming to our minds, and not just waiting for something to happen before we say, oh, okay, wow. Because that's what we tend to do. We respond or we react to a situation that comes to us instead of starting to build things that become habitual, that become a part of our daily life. And I love that, I follow you on Facebook and the lovely, daily things that you do with Luke, and we have an opportunity to see you do that. And we're going to talk about how people can get in contact with you and follow you, because it's so powerful when we can, begin to do things and they happen in a way that is not scheduled or planned. It just becomes organic. It just becomes who we are. And then, because once it's in your mindset to do it, then it's not something that's forced. It's just natural. It just happens. And these things are going that and these practices and things that you're doing and that Luke has an opportunity to see you do, these are things that are going to become just the norm for him. It's
Yes,
not going
and
to be anything
I'll have
to
one more book
rehearse.
that I'll reference, Kim.
Yes.
And
Yes.
it's called Habits of the Household. I cannot think of the author in this moment, but Habits of the Household. And one of the things he says in that book is nothing is normal until it's normal. And so when you're first trying to do something, it's okay if you're a little awkward with it. Like, it's
Right.
okay that, like, maybe that first conversation you have with your neighbor, like, doesn't go how you think it should go.
Right, right,
But
right.
that doesn't mean you stop, right? Like, you're like, no, I need to step into this. And so these conversations, like I said, with even today at the pool, I know a year ago, I wouldn't have had the awareness to like think about that. And so really do not compare yourself to anybody else and just say, hey, God, what is it you want me to do right now? And then he'll show you somehow, like, you know, maybe it's something you read or something you see, and then you do it. And maybe it doesn't go exactly how you thought it would go. But what are we talking about this whole episode is you have to let go of that and let God, because the outcome is not dependent on your obedience. Just being obedient is what you're called to do. And so when you're starting these things, or if you're like, oh, I'm not a journaler, or holy cow, she talked about a lot of books. I was not always a reader. I, you know, have grown into that. And so don't compare yourself and don't get overwhelmed. Really just sit with you and God and say, all right, God, what are you calling me to right now? And he is a kind, loving father that will show you what you need to do next in the now. Like, and just release the outcome and say, okay, I'm going to let go of what I think and I'm going to let God lead.
There you go. There you go. There's no more perfect way to say it. And it's about, you know, figuring out what works for you, because we are all beautiful mosaics, individual in our own ways. You know, I always say, you know, it's like shards of glass, different parts of our life. But then when we encase them in love and understanding and wisdom and try to learn and grow, then it creates that mosaic. And no mosaic looks like the next one. Everyone is individual, and each one is beautiful in its own way. And so we have to begin to look at life that way for us. It's not that, oh, I have to do things the way that Jess does it, or I have to do things the way that Kim does it. It has to be, I have to do it the way that I do it, because he's, you know, made me who I am. He knows my life from the beginning to the end. He has counted the hairs on my head. He knows my life, you know? And like you said, I have to walk in that obedience, you know, and say, okay, but what is it that you would have for me to do? What is it that you would have for me to understand in what's happening right now? And then begin to provide those things, like you said, that I can put in that toolbox. Some of us have that empty toolbox right now. What is something that you can reach back for? What is something that you can look into? What is something that you can bring back to your remembrance that's going to help you to deal with this situation? Because we have situations that are going to happen to us, not just like you explained, one time, two times, three times. We don't know how many times, but how we respond is going to be what's going to help to carry us through. And so I love that you say that. Your toolbox may be empty. What is the one thing that you can put in there now? You know, like you said, you and your husband, you know, memorized that one statement. Okay. And here it was. You were able to reach back. It was right there. You know, what do we have that's right there at our fingertips that we can reach for? Because when we have to start looking for things, that's where the frustration comes in. Because now it's like, I can't find it. What was that again? Oh, my goodness. But when we start bringing those things to memory and start, you know, putting little stickers around. Okay. I know all about that. I'm the queen of sticky notes. Okay. My whole life is sticky note because I can't remember anything. I tell people I'm memory resistant. So there are things that simply can't remember everything. So yeah, I'm going to need to write some things down. But if we can, if those things come to our mind, when they happen, we can say, oh, I have something for that. I know what can help me get through this right now. And that's that scripture verse, or that's that song, or that's that, you know, I need to write that down. There are ways in which we can start that process of changing our mindset so that everything comes back to us right when we need it, you know, and we don't have to search for it because it's there. It becomes ingrained in us. You know, people say, oh, it takes 21 days to make it. It takes 66 days to create a habit. All right. Some people say, no, it's only 21. Google it.
I do. It is 66.
It is 66.
And that if your toolbox is really empty, I would highly, the first thing I would put in there is a verse, is a scripture that you can hold on to. That is the first, if it's, you really have an empty toolbox and you're like, holy cow, she mentioned all these books. And like, what do I really do a scripture? Because that is just what will carry you through better than another person's words. And so I highly, highly recommend. I was just talking to someone the other day. I said, it's really sad to me that we emphasize children memorizing scriptures. And I think there are so few adults that actually spend time memorizing God's word and putting it into who we are, because that's when it comes up, when we are spending that time and really, and you might not get it right. You might not get, but you can get the concept. And you be like, I know where to look for that.
Even if, you know, I remember when we were kids, they used to say, okay, you know, what is the shortest, you know, scripture? And, you know, some people say, Jesus wept. Okay. So, all right. So if you don't have anything in your toolbox, no, you remember as I want, you know, Kim said, Jesus wept. Okay. Go and find out where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Then you might want to read the whole chapter and see where, you know, why did he weep? What was that about? So start the whole curiosity, but it's starting with something so simple, and just saying, okay, even if you just turn it, and I'm going to read whatever the first one, you know, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God. All right, so where is that? Or, you know, let me look and see. Begin to have curiosity like a child.
Yes.
You know, and start asking, okay, why? And start saying, well, where is that? You know, and having that curiosity. Then we begin to become excited because now it's something new, and now it becomes an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
So when we begin to look at life as an adventure and start saying, okay, what is something that I don't know? You know, what is something I want to be today years old on? You know, think about all these little TikToks and all these other things, and you're talking about, oh, you know, I was today years old. How are you excited when you go, then you're looking for somebody to tell. Oh my goodness, I didn't know. Oh, that's how you use the can opener. Oh, that's how you do this. I had no idea. Then you're trying to find somebody to tell because you're excited.
Excited, yeah.
Learning something new. You know, we all get excited when we learn something or we know something that we didn't know before, and we're looking to share that. What's going on in our life? What's something that we can be excited about again?
Yeah.
You know, because when we know better, what is the old cliche? When you know better, you do better.
You can do better. Yep. Absolutely.
You know, there are so many things. So how are we going about changing our thought process? It all starts with mindset. And then it's because when we know what to do, then again, we respond instead of reacting.
Mm-hmm.
So that way we're not building that wall. We're walking forward, looking over that hill and saying, I don't know what's over that hill, but I'm going to go and see. Now I'm curious what's over that hill. But I'm going to walk. I'm not going to shield myself from it and say, I'm scared to go over that hill. I'm going to keep walking forward. So I love that you've brought so many wonderful thoughts to mind, so many ways in which we can go about, you know, figuring things out, figuring life out, you know, we don't know all the answers, but we know whose we are.
Yes.
We know who we can place our trust in, and it is in God. When we let go,
you know, and let God.
When we let go and let go. All right, like I said, we can go on for days. And you know, we already know. We can go on and on and on. But what I do want to do is I want to give people an opportunity to connect with you or to be able to know how they can, you know, follow you on Facebook, or if you have a website, or if there are things that they can do to connect with you, just that way they can continue to be inspired, as all of us who have been listening so far have been. So if you can do that, then we'll move on to
It's just my name on Facebook, Jess Kalvaitis. My maiden name might be in there, but Jess Stilson Kalvaitis. And then for Instagram, it's Jessie Kale, JessiKale 2015. Is my Instagram.
Yes, and what we'll do is we'll put all of this in the description for the show, so that way you will be able to follow her. We'll also put down some of the books that she talked about, so that we'll put down links to the books. So if you're interested in getting the books, because I was sitting there writing it down myself, because I'm definitely going to tap into some of those, because I'm just an avid reader. I love to read. And so, you know, we'll make sure that those go in the description as well, so that people can follow you and you know, get an opportunity to see cute Luke. He is adorable. Just gonna throw that out there. Okay,
I'm
I'm not
biased,
biased
but
or
I
anything.
think so
She
too.
buys. Yeah, he's cutie pie. He's cutie pie. But yes, just set that way. You're encouraged, and you know, willing to look for, you know, how you can live in this now, how you can go about doing things. It's not what now, it's how now. How are we going about it? Because that means there's a way in which
Yes.
we can, you know, deal with any of the things that are going on in our life and be able to do it in a beautiful way, you know. So I just love that you've come and shared this space and this time with me. It has just truly blessed my soul. I have, you know, it's been a long time coming, and I'll just be like, yes. And this is just a perfect way to, you know, go into the holiday seasons, you know, because it is a time of reflection for people. You know, and you know, it doesn't have to start on a specific day. It could start today, it could start next hour, it could start as soon as the show ends for anybody who is just seeking to have a better relationship with God. What are you willing to let go of? Because like I said, when we get to that place of brokenness, we can experience God. When we learn to surrender, we can experience God. So, you know, it's a beautiful place to be if we're willing to take the steps to get there. So my question is, are you willing to let go and let God? You know, it starts with one foot in front of the other, right?
Absolutely. Thank you so much,
Absolutely.
Kim, for having me on. I have
Yes.
so enjoyed our
Yes.
time. I have
Yes.
also been blessed, and I hope that I was a blessing to others
Yes.
as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the one thing I want to ask, and I always ask all of my guests at the end of the show, how are you living in this now? What are you doing? You've told us just about all the things that you're doing, but let's recap them again just for those who may have been a little late in coming
A little
on.
late. Yeah. So the first thing I'd say that I'm doing to live in the now is I am really diving deep into memorizing Ephesians 3:16 to 20. And I do a lot of journaling to help me process those emotions, to help me get them outside of me so that I can release them and really let God say, those are mine, you are mine. And really, I am a huge word of the year person. And I've actually already really have been praying about it, and I have my word for 2024, and I'm really leaning into trust. God has brought me through 2023, and I know that 2024 is going to be amazing because I'm going to be trusting in His perfect plan for me. And so that
Yes.
is how I am now. Working on creating that space and really being open and curious and excited with that word trust. I think there could be some fear that's tied to the word trust, but I want to have that, you know, godlike innocence and
Yes.
really be trusting and excited for His plan. And so that is how I am now doing that.
That's it. That's it. His perfect will be done. Absolutely, absolutely love that. Again, thank you so much for being with me, Jess. I appreciate you taking time out to share your story and to give some insight. And hopefully, like you said, it has inspired others and it will encourage others, you know, as we're moving forward. So now you are officially part of the How Now family. You are always welcome to come back and share things that are going on in your now, because what's happening right now may not be what's happening 2 minutes, 2 hours, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years from now. But you'll be here to share your story. You'll always have a platform to come back and share with us the things that are going on in your now. And so I wish you blessings going into this new year, going into the holiday season. Please give my love to Luke and to your dear husband. And, you know, just like I said, continue to let go and let God. And I always ask again before we leave, are there any parting words that you would like to leave with our listenership before you go?
I don't think so. I think I've summed it up well with you, Kim. But really, I guess the last thing I would just leave with people is to think about the depths it means to let go and let God. I think that sometimes some phrases, they seem simple, but when you sit with it, when you're in the middle of hard, it can feel scary to let go and let God. But I pray that you are able to, through my story, through diving into God's word, really see that you can trust him, and that it is the best choice to let go and let God.
Absolutely. I love it. There you have it. That will do it for this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. And until we see you the next time, I say peace.